Of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's good to be back after a week away. We were at the beach. This is as tan as I get. And if you're thinking you look the same as a few weeks ago, I repeat, this is about as tan as I get. So last week, Father Thomas, who is now on vacation himself. Last week, Father Thomas opened our series on the Psalms, and he spoke about how the musicality of the Psalms, the singing, the chanting of it, that it shapes our memory. Now, not only do songs shape your memory, they take you somewhere. Many songs, they mimic the arc of a journey, departure, exploration, and then return. And then a collection of songs. That can become a sojourn itself. Whether you're thinking about Vivaldi taking you through a journey of the four seasons and four movements, or other such collections. Our psalm for this Sunday, Psalm 130, it belongs to a collection of psalms known as the Songs of Ascent. Now, much like our hymn book has a section that will be appointed for seasons, we have hymns for Advent or Christmas carols. The Songs of Ascent, they are a section of the Psalms that are appointed for pilgrimage. So beginning in Psalm 120, the Songs of Ascent, they include 15 pilgrimage songs. These are songs that are going somewhere. They're songs for the road. Now, three times a year, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, God commanded that all of Israel leave their homes and assemble in Jerusalem. And to go up to Jerusalem truly is an ascent. Jerusalem is indeed a city that is set on a hill, so it's a climb. Now, it's interesting, the Song of Ascents, translated in the Psalms, it could also be called the Song of Steps, like climbing a staircase. These are the songs that one sings and one prays on the road as they're climbing up to Jerusalem. Now, this is fascinating how ancient these songs are, but it's fascinating how the pattern remains the same and how it translates actually to other areas of life. Think of it this way. Once September and October rolls around, college football fans, they will make pilgrimage to their gridiron cathedrals. They'll stream in from surrounding cities and states. And what do they do when they're en route? When they're walking to the stadium? They tell stories from years past. They sing their fight songs. They chant their school cheers. They watch their band march in procession. Israel sings their prayers as they are ascending to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, it's not only Jerusalem's elevated topography that gives the Songs of Ascent their meaning. Israel's story shapes the Songs of Ascent, too. See, many of these psalms, if not all of them, were composed coming out of the experience of exile in Babylon. Jerusalem's their destination. Babylon is the background, the context. So when the psalmist sings, "Out of the depths I cry unto you," we are hearing the song of a soul in pilgrimage. A soul of leaving behind years of imprisonment, a soul that is longing for home. And saints praying Psalm 130 through the centuries, they know that Babylon is not just an ancient pagan kingdom in the Middle East. Babylon can take residence in the heart. The soul praying the Songs of Ascent wants to leave behind the darkness of Babylon, longs, and is even fainting for the presence of God. Now, the Songs of Ascent, they follow a specific pattern along this journey. As a collection the song of ascents, they are arranged in triads. They're trios or triplets if you're a musician. So 15 psalms comprise the song of ascent. But among that 15, there are five sets of three psalms. There's a pattern here. The first psalm in the triad, it prays from the place of distress and despair. The second psalm remembers God, his power, his past faithfulness. The third psalm in the triad, it finds safety and security in God's presence. And then the pattern repeats again. Distress, remember God, finding safety at home again. Wash, rinse, repeat that pattern five times, and you have the song of ascents as a whole. Now, I mentioned the pattern of triads in the song of ascents for today's purposes, and we'll also have another ascent psalm in a few weeks' time, so we'll need to remember this. So when we pray the psalms, we hear what is being said, but we may not notice how things are being said, like finding this pattern of triads. But a pattern like this is showing us the way of wisdom. There is a cadence in these triads that keeps us moving towards God. No matter the circumstances, the cadence of the Song of Ascents is moving us towards God. We will pray from our deepest distress, but we don't stay there. We move consciously from that to remember God. We remember his power. We remember his past faithfulness. Our destination is finding safety in God's presence again. Now that's the pattern of the Psalms. And compare that with our culture. Our culture does not know this way of wisdom. Our culture is very much drawn to lament, but it does not want to actually leave lament. That's because the world does not embrace the gospel. The world does not live by hope that comes from the Holy Spirit. There is a gravitational pull in our time to seek personal salvation simply by expressing one's grievances over and over again. That's where hope is being placed in our culture. But this is not the kind of lament we pray in the Psalms. The Psalms will pray from places of personal and national devastation. Never suppresses what happens. Yet the Psalms never cease crying out to God that he be just and good. In other words, I cry out from the depths because I want to return home. Psalm 130, it's the middle psalm in its triad. Psalm 129, it opens and it speaks about long suffering of great despair. The psalmist in that opening one in Psalm 129 speaks about affliction from his youth. But when you come to Psalm 130, the middle psalm, the psalmist's suffering, it takes on a different tone. He suffers, and he knows the fault is all his own. He's no innocent sufferer in this instance. He's in the depths of distress because of his own choices. Israel chose exile in Babylon, just like Adam and Eve chose their own exile from Eden. And the Lord had sent prophet after prophet to warn Israel of their foolishness, of what would happen. He called them to repent, to turn away from their vain, beloved idols. Israel, you see, is the prodigal son. Israel squandered everything, cashed in the full inheritance of God's love, and then ended up in prison. Psalm 130 is a song of the prodigal son. It's the song of waking up, coming to your senses after you've wandered into a far country, after you've found yourself broke and alone. Out of these depths have I called unto you, O Lord. And I'm in these depths through my own fault. I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what I've done and by what I've left undone. I'm without excuses. I know better, and now I'm a long way off. And yet I pray, hear my cry from a far country. Let your ears hear my soul pleading out to you for grace and help. And so, like that prodigal son who came to himself in the middle of a pigsty, the psalmist remembers his father's goodness. And so, can we hear the prodigal psalmist praying out from the depths? I've been a fool. There's no denying it. And Lord, if you tallied all my foolish ways, the amount of times that I've fallen down, not just me, but no one could stand before you. And if I fix my attention on all these failures, I'll never leave this land of shadows. Despair would swallow me whole. And yet, despairing as I am, I know this is not my home, not where I was meant to live. My home is with you. And I cannot make this right, all that's gone wrong. Only you can. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? And so I remember who you are. With you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. No human being, no other God, no other idol has the patience, would show this kind of long-suffering, would endure, would love me even when I wander far from you. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And yet I remember who you are. You are the God who forgives, that you may be feared. You hear what the psalmist is saying? Your forgiveness is your holiness. You rejoice in forgiveness. Not that he just begrudgingly allows it. No, he rejoices in forgiveness. This is who the Lord is. I wonder, was the Apostle Paul thinking of Psalm 130 when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, love is not irritable, love does not count up wrongs. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Our prodigal psalmist, he remembers the vast forgiveness of his father. And so he's leaving the depths of despair to come home. He's leaving the Babylon of his heart. He's going up to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of the heart. And yet when he leaves, this is where the pilgrimage comes in. When one leaves a far country to come home, one doesn't reach the desired destination immediately. You come through stages. When you leave the Gulf Coast to come home to Tennessee, your patience is going to be tested mightily because you have to travel through the eternal road construction that is Chattanooga. Psalm 130 not only teaches us how to pray when we fall again into our familiar failures, Psalm 130 teaches us how to pray in the middle of things, to pray from the middle of our unfinished and incomplete lives, to pray when I'm moving towards God, when I'm desiring and pursuing good and holy things, but I've not attained them yet. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. When we stray from the Lord, when we come into our familiar failures, we want the assurance of forgiveness, of course. We want to feel the sense of being cleansed. But my brother and sister, forgiveness is only the beginning. Our psalmist, look closely at the way he prays. He wants more than forgiveness. He wants more than just the assurance of cleansing. What does he want? He wants the Lord Himself. Nothing else will satisfy. He knows this because he's lived in Babylon and seen how empty it is. And he knows that in that longing for the Lord, he must wait. He does not complain about waiting. He trusts it. He trusts the time of waiting. When nothing is happening, when God seems most hidden, even when I'm desiring good things again, he waits. Even after his big wake-up call, he accepts that the Lord is forming him in the middle of things before he reaches home. Because in the middle of things, he's being purified, refined, prepared. He's being made ready for a deeper communion with the Lord. He's known the profound emptiness from all lesser gods, and now he has a single eye for the living God. He is a sentinel. He's the keeper of the lighthouse. He's scanning his searchlight in the darkness, and he's waiting for God only. Nothing else matters. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchman for the morning, more than watchman for the morning. The prodigal psalmist who is remembering God, he lives by hope. He has not reached home yet. He has not experienced the fullness of a newer, deeper communion with the Lord that he desires. He is content to wait because his hope is in the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord will not return empty. His hope will be fulfilled. This he trusts. He trusts that one day all of his failures, his iniquities, they will be fully healed. He will not only know forgiveness, he will know the fullness of redemption. He will know the complete healing when the pilgrimage ends. But now he's praying from the middle. And so how does he pray from the middle? In hope. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is steadfast love, and with him, he doesn't just say is redemption. He says is a plenteous redemption, an abundant redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Next week, our series in the Psalms, it will move outside these songs of ascent. So perhaps we should hear the third psalm in this triad, Psalm 131. This is the song of the psalmist, finally at home. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. He's not got his eyes lifted up. He's at home now. He wasn't saved by getting the answers to all of his questions. No, it was the presence of the Lord that satisfied him. Well, that makes for a wonderful final closing prayer, completing our journey. Today, we meditate most of all on how we seek God in the middle, for this is where we live. In our Anglican tradition, we have a treasure house of wisdom on the Psalms, especially from John Mason Neal. He was a Victorian priest and poet, actually the author of some of our beloved Christmas carols like Good Christian Men Rejoice and Good King Wenceslas. John Mason Neal also composed collects, prayers for all 150 Psalms. So I want to close with John Mason Neal's collect for this psalm, 130. Let thine ears, O Lord, unto which our cry and petition is directed, let it be open unto our prayers, that they may graciously hear us and mercifully answer our petitions. And since there are many mercies with thee, we pray thee, O God, condemn us not according to the multitude of our iniquities, but quicken with thy plenteous compassion those who confess and return unto thee, so as to receive our cry out of the deep, and delivering us from worldly things, receive us in thy court into the joy of perpetual gladness. Through thy mercy, O our God, who art blessed, and livest and governest all things to ages of ages. Amen.